Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the music in the shopping centers drips with sweetness. The scent of the confectioners is all the sweeter. Desserts tonight were pretty sweet too. And then the visions of family and friends with beaming faces as they open your present. That's all the sweeter. And behind all of that, is the marketing of joy. It can be produced as long as you do what they tell you to do. Those advertisers on TV. For all the joy that is promised to you at this time of year, for all that time of joy, there are many who are very far removed from joy. Maybe they're mourning for loved ones, or anxious about their finances, which are strained and going to be strained even more when the bill comes in January. Maybe they're uncertain about their relatives, those estranged relatives, wondering if they're even going to respond to their invitations. So what they have is not the joyful blue of Advent, but the fear of a somber blue Christmas. Joy can be hard to come by. What joy that we do experience is all too fleeting. It seems to come and go in this world. And where will you find it? Well, you can find some of it right here. This season of Advent brings joy as you anticipate Christ's birth. But it takes time to arrive at His birth. At this time of year, we're tempted to jump the gun and just go right straight there to Christmas. Just jump right over Advent. But really, that's not how life works. The things that bring us joy. The things that bring us joy are those that we anticipate. And the things that bring us joy are the things that are worth the wait. The things that bring us joy don't come easily. They don't just drop off the map. They require patience. What's the enemy of patience? As we wait, distractions come into our lives and they rob us of joy. We're distracted and then the joy seems to just kind of depart and we have a void. And that void becomes filled very quickly with sorrow. Just when we would have joy flooding upon us in our waiting, it escapes. And as elusive as joy can be, sorrow takes hold far too easily. But you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are blessed as the wise men come full of joy. Rejoice with the wise men this Christmas. Rejoice with the wise men this Advent. For Christ answers your sorrow wholly. Rejoice, you say, Pastor. Rejoice. Do I have reason to rejoice? You do have reason for joy. Consider everything that you do enjoy. God provides you with daily bread, everything that you need to support this body and life. Even more than that, you have reason for joy. But given that, are you joyful? Or are you easily distracted from that joy? In our text from, in our gospel text tonight from Matthew, Herod was distracted. Wise men come to Jerusalem, and they're looking for the one who's been born king of the Jews. So Herod, not knowing his Bible, I guess, calls in the wise men and the priests. Not the wise men, the chief priests and the scribes. And he says, where is he going to be born? Where's the prophecy of where he's going to be born? The answer is found in the prophet Micah. They tell him, Micah says the promise of the Lord that we're going to have a Christ, a Messiah. It's going to be fulfilled, and he's going to be born in the little town of Bethlehem, on the way to Ephrathah. What generations of the faithful had been longing to see, waiting in expectation. What so many had spent their lives desiring now stands fulfilled. There's the reason for joy, and it's right there. But not for Herod. Not for Herod. He's distracted from that joy. It's not his. And what's he distracted by? In his case, he's distracted by power, his own. And he wants to keep it. And he's distracted by fear. Fear that he's going to lose it. Fear that this new king is going to take over from him. He's quite content with the way things are. He's not going to tolerate a rival. Well, once joy departs, sorrow finds a home. You know what that is. Maybe in your case, it's probably in the opposite direction from Herod. Herod had power he didn't want to let go of. You and I often feel like the sorrow that we have comes from our lack of power. We don't get things the way that we want them all the time. Seems like never. Why, oh why, just can't things work out the way that I planned? Why can't things work out the way that I wanted? Why can't they just be the way I would have them be just this once? You ever say that? If not, listen to me, because I say it all the time. Notice what happens, though, when you say that. With a focus on what you don't have, with a focus on the things the way they aren't, but that you want them to be, you lose sight of what? You lose sight of the blessings that God has given to you already. The more you're distracted with frustration about the status quo and the way you want things to be, you fall into coveting. If only I had this. If only I had her or him. If only things were the way I want them to be right now. Start to covet what other people enjoy. And instead of seeing what the Lord has given to you in his bounty, you see what others have and you don't. And when joy departs, sorrow makes your heart its home. Sorrow is a little different from sadness because it extends in duration. And as it extends in duration, it deepens in its intensity. Sadness comes and goes, but sorrow can remain for a prolonged period. And the longer it stays, the more piercing it becomes. Sorrow is the antithesis of joy. You see, joy requires patience. You wait for the realization of that thing that you desire, that thing that you hope for. Waiting for graduation, waiting for marriage, waiting for a baby born to you and to your family. Maybe simply just waiting for Christmas. But sorrow feeds off of impatience. So that the longer that you go without having that thing that you so much want, the deeper the sorrow becomes in your heart. And sorrow lies to you. Sorrow tells you that joy does not come from waiting. You must be satisfied now. You want it now. Right now. How has sorrow robbed you of joy? Well, however it happened, Christ answers. Christ answers by who He is. Now, He's not going to be the one who Herod wants Him to be. He's not going to be a rival who can be killed easily so that Herod's worldly power can continue and be preserved. And by the way, Christ will not be who you want Him to be so that you can control your life. He's not just a servant of you, the king. He is the king, though a servant king. Jesus may not give you everything that you want. In fact, He probably won't. But He will give you everything that you need. Let me say that again. He will give you everything that you need. And that includes forgiveness and life and salvation. You see who Jesus is. In our text today, when the wise men arrive. The wise men arrive, Matthew says, when they saw the child, they fell down before Him and worshiped Him. Another translation of that would be, they prostrated themselves, flat on the ground, arms out, extended. 30 years later, a Samaritan leper would prostrate himself again before Jesus after he had been healed. After the resurrection on Easter, when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there at the empty tomb and Jesus appeared to them, they prostrated themselves before Him. So did the disciples when they saw Him in Galilee. That indicates who He is. The one who is to be worshipped and adored because of who He is. The very Son of God. The one who delivers to you in His life and in His death and in His resurrection and ascension forgiveness, life, and salvation. Maybe that's not what you're waiting for. But it is what you need. And when those people, when the wise men and the leper who had been healed, and the two Marys and the disciples, when they prostrated themselves before the Lord, the reason they did that was because they were filled with joy. Because the thing that was even greater than what they had been hoping for had been fulfilled and delivered to them. given to them. And they could see it. Healing and forgiveness and life in the presence of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew tells us that the wise men rejoiced greatly. In fact, they rejoiced with a great joy, he says. That's two joys and two greats. It's as good as it gets. He's the God who gives you not just what you want, but everything that you need. He whom sages westward faring humbly worshipped, offerings sharing. Why do they come to worship this child? Because the Lord has revealed to them, and he reveals to you who he is and why he has come. There he is, lying helpless in a manger, poor and bare and lowly, to set you free from your sorrow, holy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.